Hey guys, it's Chuck. We're in the bunker today. There's a lot of stuff going on. We want to make sure that the radio waves don't catch us. Really spooky stuff's been happening. A lot of conspiracies have been going down, and I think the studio's been tapped. I want you to know that. If anything happens to us, it's been real.
All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I am here, as always, with my buddies, John and Chuck. Gentlemen, how's it going? Chuck, what'd you have for breakfast?
I'm not trying to tell you where I had my breakfast today.
Yeah, at White Castle.
It was at White Castle. I had a I had a Belgian waffle biscuit, chicken biscuit. That are 2 for $5 right now at White Castle, so go ahead and get that. They're fantastic. They're quite small. They're not a large meal, but you can finish two quite easily.
Is it a syrup situation? Or like
so I went in.
A whipped cream?
There was a dab of whipped cream. It is on our Twitter feed, Fast Break Breakfast. Fast Break Break. We have a situation where I went in thinking it would be a savory sweet thing. Much more savory. The particular White Castle I was at kind of undercooked the Belgian waffle that they unfroze. So it was kind of
better than gooey. Better that than the chicken.
Right. Well, the chicken was well cooked. I did ensure that. But the waffle was not. It wasn't huge. It was a good snack. And I'm proud of it. You guys should check it out. They have a sausage, egg, and cheese, a bacon, egg, and cheese, and then the chicken waffle.
So is that technically a slider?
It's a dingy's.
A slider.
Yeah, because it's Belgian.
I like how they gave you one for each ventricle in your heart.
Yeah, every artery that'll shut. I get one of them. Yeah, that's that right. Works.
Well, healthy living John, what'd you have for breakfast?
Wasn't so healthy living today, gentlemen. I had what we call brunch.
Oof.
And I had it at one of the worst restaurants in the world, Applebee's.
You did not.
I did. I had Applebee's, and I decided...
I didn't know Applebee's even had a brunch.
And I never knew...
On a weekday?
I didn't know that you knew where an Applebee's was.
Let's not say that Applebee's has a brunch so much that I ate at 10:30.
Again, I'm surprised that Applebee's is open at 10:30.
No, they're trying to get you drunk way early in the day.
Well, that was the thing, man. There was like a 400-pound man there, like drunk off his ass. I don't know how he could get drunk that quickly.
Here,
my bartender, I swear... 72-year-old woman.
Love it.
I decided to do a culinary trip around the world. Me and my buddies got 9 different apps.
That sounds terrible.
And to an app, almost all inedible.
Yeah. Pure crap.
The fried cheese.
There's an Applebee's.
The Italian.
There's an Applebee's pretty close to my house, and this will kind of tell you, the listener, more about me as a person. Me and my friends, we went there once. Ironically, we thought it would be hilarious to go to Applebee's,
that's what happened to us.
The good part about the Applebee's experience was we went at some form of happy hour. And one of the reasons we went was one of our friends had a $25 gift card. Some relative had given him same situation for you.
This is why we went.
So
we had $75.
So I think there was 6 or 7 of us. We had several drinks. We had several apps in it. I guess at a happy hour, lots of things are half off. The joke of it was when the girl brought our tab.
You still had gift card left.
It was something it was like $24. And we burst out laughing. And she didn't understand why we were laughing. We're like, it's so cheap.
I think I must have quantum leapt into your body.
You really could have.
We tried as hard as we could to use up these gift cards.
The best thing was the Applebee's sold Jell-O shots. And they came.
Oh hell!
They came in the little like a disposable black condiment. Like they might bring you a pat of butter or something.
That's a ramekin.
But they brought them with lids. So in essence,
lingo.
That they gave us to go Jell-O shots, which I'm sure is illegal. But
no, you can have a corking fee.
We took those to go.
Jell-O shot corking fee.
So that's our. I'm glad you Applebee's. That's pretty good. I had a treat of a breakfast. I actually had. My wife has been making her own kind of personal. I don't know what you call it. It's like a breakfast bar.
It's like she's making her own Nutri-Grain bars. It's kind of like a cobbler, but it's not very sweet. It's just like fruit and whatever else.
Right.
But it's delicious.
I think you're having dry porridge.
It could be.
She's just baking oatmeal.
It's like how I've had Nutri-Grain bars several times, and those are, you know, jam on cardboard.
Yes.
And but this is actually like the delicious, actual, natural version of that. And so I bless myself with a little breakfast.
Good.
Now that we've talked about our breakfast, we move on to our breakfast in bed apologies. Actually get a little NBA talk in. This is where we apologize for things where we might have been incorrect in previous episodes. Does anyone have an apology they need to share?
According to our listener, Matt Sullivan, devoted listener, I might add.
Shout out, Sully.
Thank you for listening. We were too hard on Dame Lillard.
And his defense.
And his defense.
Lack of.
And Matt's reasoning is because we gave him a hard time because Chris Paul made him look... we claimed that Chris Paul made him look foolish. But in actuality, Dame Lillard is so bad at defense that he barely guarded Chris Paul during the game.
So he was saying that the 41-17 or whatever it was Chris Paul game, it actually wasn't because Dame Lillard was guarding him and being terrible.
Yeah, like this is kind of a backhanded apology because if Dame Lillard is so bad he can't even guard the other team's point guard, it kind of makes argument for us.
I actually looked it up. Chris Paul career... in 8 games against the Trailblazers when yes. Damian Lillard was playing.
It's like 26 points a
yeah,
game.
Yeah, 27-12.
Yeah.
Those are above his career averages, much at the same, perhaps at the same rate that Mike Conley's career averages against Damian Lillard. And I believe also when your buddy Matt pointed out that it wasn't Dame Lillard's fault, I believe on the next night, a Jordan Clarkson maybe had like 28 against the Trailblazers.
Game of his career.
But of course, it's definitely not. This is a mild, half-assed apology.
We're masters of the half-assed.
We are. I've got a full-fledged apology.
Full-assed.
Sort of.
I want to see the butthole.
Well.
Woo! So during our game of scones last week, a couple of listeners pointed out that the question was which non-first-round draft picks after 1989, and that caveat's important, had made the All-Star games. And one of you guys guessed Anthony Mason. I think maybe John did.
It was me.
Oh.
Definitely Chuck.
So Chuck guessed Anthony Mason, and it was incorrect. And I said I was pretty sure he'd made an All-Star game, but then I assumed he was a first-round draft pick. A couple listeners pointed out that he was a third-round draft pick, and I kind of wish we would have known that because he is a TSU Tiger from yeah. Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
But he was a third-round draft pick. He did make the All-Star game, but he was a third-round draft pick in 1988. I apologize for not knowing that he did fit the most of the prerequisites, that he was a...
Yeah.
Does Chuck get a bonus win over me for
he
that?
He does. He gets another bonus win.
That's like a half a point, right?
So also, I think the cutoff for this certain list was because... back before 89, there actually were a lot of rounds and a lot of guys who made the All-Star game. John Starks was also in 88, mm-hmm. made the All-Star game. And then dialing it back a couple years, you have the likes of Jeff Hornacek, Kevin Duckworth, Drazen Petrovic, many others, others. So
soon we'll only have as many like draft picks as there are Kentucky players.
Sweet.
That's all it'll be.
That's all you'll need.
Just draft from the University of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You have an apology?
Yeah, I do.
Chuck.
Chris Paul. This is actually a basketball apology. It's not something I'm just making up. It's involving the Cavs. Chris Paul, dude. I kind of sneak dissed you in the last episode. Said that I wasn't sure if your steal numbers were legit. So a lot of people can have high steal numbers and really be poor defenders if you look into the data. But I looked into
Magic Johnson.
Right. I looked in. Chris Paul's at 3 win shares, defensive win shares. Pretty big for him. And he's doing so much more on the offensive side that it's insane that he can still put up that kind of defensive win share for the season. So, Chris Paul, I'm sorry, dude. You're a baller. I don't know why I'm doubting you. And you're going to probably be one of the guys that I feel bad peaked during the LeBron era. You're going to be, you know, whatever, a Charles Barkley kind of player that was really good but never got there because you weren't the best ever, you know, of that generation.
I honestly get a little freaked out when you look up information.
Is it? It's kind of crazy,
I don't
right?
know. That's not kind of, yeah.
It makes you...
It kind of gets me off my game.
Yeah.
I kind of get a little jittery.
It's like watching a dog play the piano. It's just like, no.
Or poker.
Oh, yeah.
It's like how you hear, like, right before someone commits suicide, they give away all their belongings.
So yeah.
It's that type of behavior. So what we're saying is, Chuck, this is an intervention.
What? Oh, I just
please
need to
don't die.
Just be silly from now on. Don't come with information. I think I probably should stay away from analysis. Are you guys,
you're an excellent.
How about this, guys? You guys always give me for not having a good apology, and I make one, and you give me for having a good apology.
That's how it works. You threw us off your game by being prepared.
Jeez Louise.
All right, so those are our breakfast in bed apologies. Now for what's the best thing you saw this week? Your steak and eggs. What's the best thing you saw?
The San Antonio trio of Manu, Tony, and Duncan have surpassed the aged and epic Boston trio for most games played together as a trio. I think we can probably say that's the best trio we've had, the greatest version of the Three Amigos.
On the heels of Tony Parker being the winningest player through 1,000 games, they now are the most wins as a threesome.
Tony Parker having a yo-yo-like season, but back on the good end.
He's back.
I think he had dropped 27 just on Wednesday night. So
he was, they may never lose again, the Spurs. They've now won, they've tied a record with the Miami Heat, LeBron's Miami Heat, of winning 9 straight games by 12 or more points. Yep. They almost blew it in garbage time, won by 12 on Wednesday.
Oh, to be clear, I'm not talking about Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen.
Our younger listeners.
I'm talking about the Chief, the Slippery Eel, and Larry Legend.
Chief with that Parrish spelling like yours truly, one R.
That's right. Forget about it.
I was 00 in third grade.
Of course you were.
Kind of
as a tribute?
Tribute.
When you were in seventh grade, did you have a whole bunch of reefer FedEx to you?
Was he on the Hornets then? Was that was that his final? Was that his final?
Did he play like 84 years in the NBA? He played through like 6 presidents.
He played, I think he was one of those guys in like year 20, actually averaged almost not like 8 points.
Yeah.
He's one of the crazy, the highest scoring 42-year-olds ever.
Dude had a habit to feed.
Yeah. Gotta get it. My best of the week.
Yes, please.
I'm going with Sean Livingston. Was defending Dirk Nowitzki.
The infamous Sean Livingston.
The infamous. Yeah. So he just said, he's going to score on me. He's taller, has the most unblockable shot perhaps in the history of the NBA outside the skyhook. And I'm screwed. So he just took his hand and very briskly hit him in the ball sack between his two legs from behind. And it was absolutely phenomenal. It's a great display of ball movement, if you know what
Princeton,
I'm saying.
Princeton
style ball movement.
Pete Carrill.
Yeah, I think overall, as a Miami Heat fan, I do have hate in my heart for Dirk on certain levels. So I'm kind of glad that happened, because maybe Dirk doesn't have a baby now. You know, maybe he's just like done procreating. There is a Dirk.
You're not making fun of him getting catfished by that lady, are you?
What are you
that makes
about?
My heart hurt.
I didn't
how
know.
Like this. How like?
Oh yeah.
There's like a thing that you got to check this
Dirk?
Out. Dirk. Yeah, Dirk had a fiance who turned out to be a con woman.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's one of the saddest, darkest. I don't even want to talk about it.
Is it?
But just because I like Dirk, and it's like a really just a sad story.
How come I know about Teo?
I don't
and
know.
His thing, but I don't know about an MVP in the league.
Oh yeah.
Why don't I know that?
Because football rules all around you.
Cash rules everything around
frame.
Me. Frame. Get the frummy. Hey, but
he did say that Dirk was well hung for a white guy.
Yeah, I would assume he's 12 feet tall.
Well, he is. I mean,
like proportionately,
genetically engineered from.
Yeah, he is the third.
I don't want to say
the third Reich's prized possession.
Right.
I think turnabout's fair play. Every time Dirk shoots, he kicks you in the balls.
He knocks you right in the sack.
He kicks you right in the balls.
I'm saying it's a great thing.
I'm a little
pro.
Very entertaining
Livingston.
Play. Very entertaining Vine. I'm a little confused about what Sean was doing, other than just punching him in the ball. He was just punching him in the balls.
That's just that's the speed bag, working the speed.
Yeah. And then Sean's
there's no hope of getting away with that.
Livingston's response was like, "What, dude? I just barely grazed it. What are you talking about?" Like, he was very, and the whole stadium just booed him on every possession after.
These players wear so much base layer just equipment, pads and things. So it's, yeah.
When I put on athletic garments, I don't even think I have balls anymore.
No.
It just pushes them inside me.
Yeah, like the Under Armour, super tight, skin tight. Yeah. Friction yeah. free.
I just have two navels.
You know, I have to do that whenever I go on a walk at the Greenway. I have to have like the chub rub protector.
Dude, man, all you need is some Gold Bond with a medicating powder.
I use Johnson Baby Powder. Mm-hmm. That's how you get down.
You need if to you're get from some Gold Florida. Bond.
I know, tingle, but I like tangle. Smelling like a little baby. Makes me feel good.
You are like, if you covered yourself in baby powder, you could pass for a little baby with a beard.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going for.
I think that's a Craigslist section.
Yeah.
Is there like an abbreviation for that? Like an anagram? Yeah.
A pentagram? Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I'm just glad Livingston punched him in the dirk. That's all.
If you can get a worst of the week with a ball punch in there, you'll have an all ball punch squad. Because Chris Paul originated the ball punch while at Wake Forest.
Mm.
King of the ball punch.
Not sure he invented it, but yeah, I'll give you that.
College reference.
I'm sure we can like crowbar Nick Batum in here somehow.
Yeah. International ball punch. We are covering all facets of ball punching.
We just had a every college stage of basketball. Ball punch and now NBA, and we're going to go international. It's wonderful. It's all that matters in the world.
My steak and eggs this week is over the weekend, had some family time, went to Knoxville, Tennessee. Visit the in-laws. You know, it was Easter. Saw some family. My wife's grandmother, sweet Mimi, turned 90 years old. At the Easter dinner table, she, as a 90-year-old, she started, you know, she's going to bed a little later, sleeping a lot less in her life. She started watching some pro basketball because her Tennessee Vols aren't doing as well. She started watching the Memphis Grizzlies a couple years ago. She loves Zach Randolph. She did ask me, over Easter dinner, she says, Keith, is Jarnell Stokes still on Memphis? And I was like, yes, Mimi, he's still on Memphis. He doesn't play a lot because he's got better guys in front of him. And to which she says, and this Mimi, she has her wits about her. Very lucid, very smart, wonderful woman. She says, yeah, I saw him play. He looks slow to me.
Mm.
And I lit up.
She comes from a different era.
She nailed just to have, if a 90-year-old woman in her second year of watching NBA basketball can look at you and be like, that guy seems slower than the rest of them. Maybe he doesn't have all that it takes.
She's pre-George Mike and she doesn't understand the big man game.
Yeah. She cracked me up and I said, yes, he does not seem to have the same speed as the other ones out there. But I was very happy.
She even found that out through her like cataract eye. You know, that's pretty hard to see.
Her TV is still a boxy.
Yeah, it's a cathode ray tube.
Yeah, it is not a big old widescreen yet.
It's all,
so yeah, that reads even on the cathode ray.
Right.
All right, now the opposite of that. What is your cream of wheat worst of week? I can go. I'll stick. I was trying to decide. I think, though, I will go, even though this has been somewhat redeemed, Courtney Lee in the month of March, which we just wrapped up, was last in the NBA in PER. And that is not what you want from your starting shooting guard. It's not what I want from any player.
Courtney Lee.
He was on fire, though.
He did break out a little bit on Wednesday night against the Pelicans in a rare Grizzlies blowout win.
Yeah. A lot of sabermetricians like to use the phrase regression towards the mean, but this is a little absurd.
It's a nosedive towards.
Well, he's actually regressed all the way to his actual. Yeah, he's now at 39% right. Three pointers,
which is his average.
Right. He was at like 55 for a while.
It's incredible what
he went full Joe Cocker.
It's amazing how the stats. Yeah.
No, it works. It's always impressive to me when you get a guy and you just go. We almost had this kind of like segment in the podcast. We had
the Taco Bell breakfast delivery service.
Oh, psych!
Have you heard this?
Yeah, I heard.
Okay, so
big unsustainable time. Business model.
Sustainable business model.
But yeah, that was Courtney Lee was unsustainably good, and now he's back to being slightly above average.
And so now the hope of Grizzlies fans is just be average.
Maybe, right. Just maybe, Vince Carter can't be this unsustainably bad.
That's my other counterpoint. I have been beating the Vince Carter drum all year, and I watched him play with Dallas last year. He always made me go, damn, Vince Carter still can play. I haven't seen that this year with him in the, with the Grizzlies. But, yeah, I think at the end of the day, watching the Heat the past few years, you get the feeling that a lot of it is just random heat from, you know, from your bench, from these players that, like, this guy caught fire at this time, and they won because of that.
Right, boy, Bill Walker.
Yeah.
Three.
You know, and
William Henry, please.
Yeah, the reason why the Spurs hung in with the Heat 2 years ago and went to seven games was because Danny Green had the series of his life. He's never going to play that well again, and they don't. Well, maybe
he kind of plays that well all the time.
But no, geez,
when he was shooting 65%,
he was the MVP.
He set the record for the
that was a record
that,
performance.
If they win that game seven, he's the MVP.
But that's more of a breakout performance than.
But he's still an above average player.
No, that was the Timmy Smith Super Bowl MVP.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right.
No
cross sports reference.
Mm. No, because that Timmy Smith
or was
Super
it Doug
MVP,
Williams? I can't even remember.
You go back into obscurity, whereas Danny right. Green has become, you know, he starts for them now and has become a great player.
No, I'm with it. I'm just saying it's a matter of when a player catches fire. Mike Miller game seven. You know, Shane Battier in the game seven against. The Spurs, when they closed them out, the Heat closed them out. So it's really about timing and when these players start peaking at these statistical heights. And if you are lucky enough to catch somebody on a run in the playoffs or catch an opposing player on a dip, then, you know, it's kind of all just...
That's it.
Hey, this is all random and all of our analysis is meaningless.
So true.
So true.
Luckily, our listeners do not come to us for analysis.
Deep thoughts.
Does anyone else have a cream of wheat?
For me, it has been the unbelievable fall from grace that the Oklahoma City Thunder have had. And the most important time after that, I think they had a 6-game winning streak, and then they've been like 1-6 since then. And that one win was a 20-point comeback. I think they're not going to make the playoffs. Although the Grizzlies just deal the Pelicans quite a blow. But really... The Thunder,
it's still a toss-up.
If they do make the playoffs, they're coming in slumping about as hard as a team can right now.
Enos Kanter effect.
Absolutely.
Get to those numbers, Enos.
Or as Haralabob calls him, the dandelion. The Enos Kanter effect is glorious because it affected two teams equally. Utah became a defensive juggernaut, and Oklahoma City suddenly can't defend anyone.
And it's also one of those, if you check the box score, you look and you're like, Kanter was like,
yeah, quite a game.
12 for 17, 30 points, 12 boards. And you're just like, wow. And they gave, you know, but he's just killing him on the defense. And a lot of it is just the unbelievable injury issues. Scotty Brooks' insistence on keeping Dion Waiters ahead of Anthony Morrow.
Oh, God. Dion Waiters may be the gaffe of the season.
He might be least valuable NBA player.
He leaves the Cavs. They become excellent.
They turn into a juggernaut.
And what's amazing about Dion Waiters is he talks all that jive about
jib jab.
All you know, the Thunder give me the ball more, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have to call for the ball as much. He has gotten the ball less with the Thunder than he has with the Cavs.
That's insane.
His possession time is less. It shows you the power of perception.
I believe our listeners know we have said he's terrible from day one.
I've never thought he was ever good. And my only worry at the beginning of the year was that LeBron would pull something out of him. Because role players around LeBron, or even below average players, at times...
He elevates.
Elevate. And he did no such thing.
We call that a Chalmers.
Yes. Yeah, a Rio.
Rio.
Or a Derek Fisher. You know what I mean? Whatever you want to call it. Just an average player that turns into above average player because of the talent that they're around. But he is terrible. And when J.R. Smith is an upgrade over you, son.
A severe upgrade.
You are trash in the streets.
Now's a good time to say J.R. Smith set an NBA record in the last week. The most three-point attempts in a game without attempting a two-point shot.
Oh, crazy.
He was 8 for 17 for the game. All three-pointers, 24 points. That is glorious. Hey. I have nothing negative to say about that. That is amazing.
And he threw one out of bounds, half court, falling out of bounds, hits it at...
The man knows his role.
Did you have a worst, Chuck?
What was my worst? Oh, Carlos Boozer.
Oh, say no more.
Yeah, you're just a bad thing.
And one.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like karmically I need to you know, repay Chris Paul. I know I gave him an apology, but I want to make an amends vis-a-vis the 12-step programs. Dude, Chris Paul, you fooled Carlos Boozer. You made him into a poo putt.
It was just cruel.
He just looked silly. He crossed him up between his legs like an and-one mixtape. Like
on a fast break.
Like hot sauce. Yeah.
Skip to Sauce Castillo.
Like Sauce Castillo. And you know, effectively just ended Carlos Boozer's career for me. You're done.
That Boozer. Was one of those plays where you just go, oh, bless his heart.
Oh, he's on the court and he's still playing with his painted-on hair.
I miss grease paint hair era Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, LeBron.
Who told him that looked bad? We were all enjoying that.
I think every like New York Post article.
Did he see Darren Williams try to pull it off too? And he's like, oh, that's what I look like?
That's so Damn. Crazy. That's like that Ron Popeil hair in a can stuff. Ronco.
Boozer ticks all the boxes. Annoying college player, dookie.
Yeah. That's a second round pick that made the All-Star game.
That's right. That was a correct answer.
Yeah,
It wasn't a correct answer, actually.
Nobody got that one.
I don't get correct answers.
Yeah.
John, you're really bad at trivia.
It's trivia. I think it's like in my head now. I think I'm like LeBron at the end of games.
Yeah, and we
like, you guys should have a hack of John thing.
Yeah, that's it. Anytime John's having a good show, we'll just do a game of scones and ruin him.
If my head ever gets too big, just game of scones me.
Yeah.
All right, that was our cream of wheat worst of week. Now, our Waffle House presents, or our Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House, presents scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. A lot of things have been going on.
Terrifying things.
In the NBA that are confusing, interesting.
I just like to say that Chuck has had a lot of prescience this year.
Guys.
What is this?
I knew it all along. You know, we were talking. We know about the conspiracies, right?
Oh. Have you seen? Do you think there's been a lot of weird off the court events recently? Are you saying you think?
I just think.
Did your conspiracy meter go off?
It's always kind of humming. You know, it's kind of like
you can't turn it off.
Yeah, it's like a Geiger counter. At like Fukushima,
ectometer.
You know, it's just like it's always going, but sometimes it spikes. And this week, guys, it spiked.
You've seemed a little on edge. I'll say the whole. I mean, first with you bringing out facts earlier,
he insisted on us podcasting from a strange bunker.
We're now in the bunker.
I told you guys that we needed to be at a place where, I wanted to make sure that our, you know, audio wasn't being surveilled. I want to make sure people don't hear this at all, even though we are. Broadcasting.
We have called out Scientology and the NSA.
Not sure Chuck knows how this works.
Is this just for us? Do other people listen to this?
No, don't worry.
Don't worry. You're in a safe place.
Okay, good.
No one will ever hear this.
Sweet. But so there was a thing that happened. Are we going to do it like a...
Oh, is this...
Do you want to just start talking or just like this whole thing's our conspiracy?
Oh, no. This is Chuck's, apparently, a very concerned Chuck. Turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week.
So you guys know about Chris Copeland, which for the record, I hope he's better. He got stabbed in a club in New York City. Still a better night than any Knicks players had all year. And he was stabbed and also his you know, wife or girlfriend.
Lacerated.
Ex-fiance.
NBA TV's bottom line as of last night, still calling her his wife, even though that was misreported.
Okay.
Again, there are no requirements to edit that bottom line.
What we really...
Let the theorist speak.
We'll call her Girl Monday. How about that? She's there. Copeland's there. For some reason, Thabo Sefolosha and Peroncic are at the club, too. Stabbing goes down by some dude named Shiraz Belzrizroy, I think. Don't quote me on that. What is it?
Shizoy?
Shizoy
Bleary.
Bleary. What a terrible... that is a name that
I always
was,
thought it was a girl's name.
Shizoy and Bleary, two names I enjoy.
Right. That name was actually created in a name generator at the NSA.
That's like a CAPTCHA name. Like when you try to enter into a... like a secure website, and they shoot a captcha at you.
Yeah,
you get shizoy bleary, and you have to like refresh it a few times because you can't really make it out
when you open a Gmail account.
Shizoy.
Yeah, who's shizoy? Anyway, so as we know, thavocephalus, this to us screams of international conspiracy. We know that the Dragic brothers were traded together because one of the Dragic brothers is full of cocaine.
He's a mule.
They had to get him to the port of Miami.
Miami is in a playoff race with the Indiana Pacers, who employ one Chris Sick Predator Copeland, and he's so vital to their success.
The corner three specialist.
He's at stretch four. You want sometimes a five in the small ball lineup when Hibbert's off the floor. So look, I even give you an analysis of my theories.
Well, and
guys, I'm killing.
I mean, Mickey Arison has some questionable connections.
Any man that has boats floating around the Caribbean is effectively a pirate, and that's what Mickey Arison is.
Are you saying Mickey Arison sent Pero, Eastern Promises, Antich,
and Thabo?
And Thabo.
And so you have...
Who is a Bond villain?
You have
a villain, but...
You have a Macedonian.
Uh-huh.
And you have a Swiss...
A Swiss...
International.
Which,
and you think, obviously...
Well, you go right to the Swiss guy.
He's laundering money for the Nazis. Oh, is... I misread what you're
What I'm
where
thinking is the Swiss guy stabbed Copeland with a fork and a can opener.
A urine-soaked knife?
Yes.
But now it comes out that the NYPD broke Cephalosha's leg.
This is actually where it all boils down, because Cephalosha, being Swiss, just stood there and did nothing. That's kind of what it's kind of what he was born to do.
He remained neutral.
He remained very neutral. And, you know, Perantich, he kept hearing them scream, get moving, which is very similar to the Macedonian get moving. Which means if you go anywhere, I'll shoot you in your f-ing head. Which in New York City, you want to be careful about.
How different phrases have different brevity and length.
It's crazy. It's almost comical. But yeah, so Perantich just stood there because he thought they were going to blow his brains out. You know, the Swiss Thabo Cephalosha just stood there. Now the stabbing story, the Swiss Army knife, it does have some holes in it. So,
as a man who's been stabbed by a Swiss Army knife, I resent this entire fabulation.
So this is what happened.
Okay.
The Colombian cartel that Mickey Arison is part owner of paid Perantich to go with Thabo, the Swiss assassin, Cephalosha, to New York City and just cut up Copeland so that those Pacers can't get in and they can keep Zoran Dragic on the mule train throughout North America.
I think you're right. I think I've heard this. Copeland's friend, who's a lady,
mm-hmm.
Copeland's lady friend who got stabbed, Cephalosha.
Is this Shizoy Bleary?
No. Cephalosha actually had tape, just bundles and bundles of money
mm-hmm.
under her clothing. And she was flying with Cephalosha to Switzerland to deposit that money.
Oh, that's what it is.
And then Shizoy tipped off.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mickey Arison set up the deal, but then paid Shizoy on the side to steal that money.
I think if you knew anything about this kind of stuff, Shizoy's
big
obviously
F. Big F.
Really, yeah, really, really, he's just a classic patsy. He's just the fall guy.
Right.
He was there in the wrong place, wrong time. They, you know, created a faked identity for him. They needed a human body to charge for this. It couldn't be any of the NBA players. However, now that Cephalosha's leg is broken, you know.
I think the story might come out.
The cops broke his leg?
Yeah.
Well, you know that. That cop, I'm sure they were, you got to have security.
Right.
So then Erickson's paying off the cops there, too, just in case something happens. If something happens, he's like, breaks Thabo's leg.
Of course. And that's what it was. Thabo just kept... you know, kept being neutral.
This is dark.
And somebody came along and said, you're obstructing justice, and put him in a leg lock and broke it.
I think it was probably more likely it was like a Kerrigan-style baton to the knee.
Mm, could have been.
Galooly.
I'm just really glad it wasn't a rear naked chokehold. Mm-hmm. We could be saying RIP Cepha.
That is a very intense.
Don't talk about chokeholds and cops. There's lots of loaded. Yeah. Loaded.
I know.
There,
I'm loading it.
That's purpose. A very
Radio Raheem, man. Come on.
Love, hate.
Very intense.
Thabo Zavala is going to throw a trash can through a window, through a pizzeria window after this. I believe everything you say, except for the whole part where Pero Antich was afraid of any man or weapon.
He doesn't want to die.
Is Pero Antich getting arrested for menacing the most
Pero Antich thing ever?
Yes.
No, that's also why Danny Ferry signed him.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. But you guys really don't want to hear Danny Ferry's background check.
Did he have an internal report?
He had an internal report.
Did he have an internal report of Pero Antich?
Yeah.
Did you get your hands on it?
Apparently, yeah. There's just one line. It says he does very Macedonian things. So,
but good Macedonian.
But in a good
things.
Way, he's good Macedonian. Yeah, but then the last line of that internal report said, but he's white, so he cool.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Danny Ferry.
Now, that's a very intense turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week.
I may go home after this.
Is there...
I think they're following
me. Do we think
me.
The Morris twins are involved?
Okay, so connected tangentially, they were the two...
All the pieces fit.
They were the two people that actually stuffed Zoran Dragic full of coke. So,
that's why the police, they haven't charged him yet. The Morris twins got in some legal trouble.
Well, because
allegedly
of
beating up someone.
You remember in that Nick Cage movie about the gun running? Was it the God of War?
God of War.
Lord of War, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, at the end where like they bring in, you know, he's about to go to jail and like a colonel comes in and says, no, he's straight.
He's with us.
He's with us. Mickey Arison is that guy.
Right.
And it came in, and it's like, hey, no, these guys did me a solid in 6 months ago.
It's not a Cubby Broccoli, James Bond type film without some creepy twins, be they...
Of course.
Be they, you know, like, you know, incestual lesbian hot chicks or, you know, scary identical assassins.
Mm-hmm.
Just checking the boxes.
My concern about the news with the Morris twins is apparently their mother was getting intimidating texts or inappropriate texts, and they went to go beat someone up with a posse.
Right.
I have two problems with this. One, I was under the impression every NBA team has a guy, like if you have a problem.
A Mike Ehrmantraut?
Yeah. That like I assume the Morris twins could be like, they just call Mark West. Yeah.
Right.
And they're like, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's been messing with my
Mark
mom.
West.
Mark West, then, you know, he's like the wolf or whoever. Like, he farms that out.
Right.
He blocks their head into the
lake. Like, there's a guy on the Grizzlies bench. I don't know who he is. I don't know his name, but he's always sitting behind the bench.
They call Bryant Reeves.
I assume that's the guy the Grizzlies call if they need anything.
Yeah.
Like, this guy needs to be put in his place.
Yeah.
Who's the Grizzlies' big man coach who's so terrifying looking?
Coach Thornton.
That's what Bob Thornton really does. Yeah. Takes care of stuff.
I think it would be great if the Suns did cool stuff, annoying stuff, like mental warfare, like send Cedric Ceballos to play the saxophone in front of your house for 14 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be it. That would be like the subtle intimidation that I would be into.
plays it blindfolded.
Yes.
My next concern with this story is their getaway car was a Rolls-Royce Phantom, which retails at $475,000.
Yeah.
This is very similar to if you're Robert Swift and you can be easily identified from 1,000 yards, don't be committing simple breaking and enterings.
Prudent choice.
So you're going to you're going to go beat up a guy. When you hop in the getaway car, it should be like a Corolla.
So here's the thing, though. Those kids, they both felt like they have immunity. You know, because they have Mickey Arison in their pocket.
Well, they haven't been charged yet.
They haven't been charged. I doubt it if it'll happen because when you talk smack about somebody's mama, you better be ready to see some people in the street. That's like
a presidential pardon.
Yeah.
And it's you talked about your mother?
My big issue is, why did they bring five dudes? Because between the two of them, there's 14 foot of person.
15 foot of twin.
Yeah.
Tattooed.
Well, this is the Ray Lewis effect. They didn't actually get their hands dirty.
No, oh, yeah. Well.
Cross sports.
Ray Lewis. There's a suit that's missing. Ray Lewis.
We'll never
that
see
white
that.
Suit
that
white never suit. Never left Atlanta.
Nope.
It's on one of those Carnival cruise ships.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You know, actually, we had more international intrigue. Sim Bular. who I don't think is a very hidden conspiracy, was put in the NBA mainly because he is of Indian descent.
Right.
The owner of the Kings is an Indian.
There's a lot of Indian people.
There happen to be close to a billion people in India.
Over a billion.
I don't think many people think Simbular is a better NBA prospect than a lot of guys.
It's like a big, fat, crappy Yao Ming.
I don't think he's better than Willie Reed.
He's no Eddie Curry.
But he actually is kind of like an
he
Eddie
is kind
Curry.
Of even though exactly
and Bular is from Canada.
Yeah, he's an expat.
Semantics. Yeah.
But he wasn't born in India.
Right, he was born in Canada. That's
which,
my
as far
my
as
understanding.
Canadians are concerned and Indians are concerned, he's Canadian.
Yeah, it's like if your mother's Jewish.
Right. The only people who think he's Indian are Americans.
Simbular.
Or the people who are
pushing the PR.
Pushing the NBA who's trying to push it.
Simbular has definitely been eating some sacred cows. So.
He's
a big boy.
Yeah, he's definitely been to the...
did anyone see his debut? How did he do?
He made a bucket.
Hey, now.
In a meaningless...
How
exceeding
fat is
expectations.
He? He's so fat.
He's just... I mean, he's... See, the problem is, we don't want to throw him under the bus. He's worked hard.
His bad stuff happens on buses in India.
He had to go to New Mexico State.
Yeah. I mean, he's worked hard to get where he is, but you think the final push into the NBA was a lot of it. It's all marketing driven from
one
would think. Or maybe just cynical us thinks that.
Right.
And actually, other people think that because I've read it.
Yeah.
I read other people writing
about
it.
It's kind of a dry, attempt. Now, Vivek's going to be doing. The reason why he's on the team, because Vivek plans on exporting basketball to India and having it become a sport there, because apparently they can create good basketball players.
I'm just glad that Vivek brings us so much entertainment. Stauskas?
Yeah. Vivek is a nonstop, and he's now empowered Eastern Promise's godfather, Vlade Divac. As almost, I think, decision maker. And
yes.
Whatever that guy's name, Alessandro or D'Alessandro, I'm not sure, is probably out.
Let me set the scene for you. Darkened Sacramento Kings office, big mahogany desk. Room's totally dark until you see the illumination brought on by the drag of a cigarette. Camera focuses in. It's Vlade Divac. He picks up the phone, trades for the next great Serb. Doesn't even have to ask Vivek because he's been empowered. He is Vlade Divac, decision maker, Sacramento. Chain smoking.
So that's a lot of heavy stuff going on in the NBA.
Man.
Maybe not basketball related.
Yeah, I warned you guys. Getting at the top of the show, it's going to get crazy. We're all in here wearing tinfoil hats.
And another thing, my hex. I tried to put the Parrish hex on the Nets. Didn't really work.
No.
Although they did lose one game, but they've still been playing great. They're still doing real well.
I don't think you were ready for Miami to completely crap their pants like they have been doing.
No, they're pooped. Yeah, they're done, dude. I'm just not certain. I'm putting my reverse hex on them now.
Couple of notes around the NBA. This is from John Ledesma, who covers the NBA. Curry for the Warriors, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green, and Bogut have played together more than 735 minutes.
How many minutes did they play last year?
Zero. So that's a...
That's Steve Kerr, Coach of the Year Award, locked up.
That's right. It's like... Mark Jackson, maybe not putting his team in the best place.
Mark Jackson,
to
bitter,
succeed.
Bitter about
oh,
it too.
Mark Jackson is so bitter.
Following his biblical teachings.
Two things, achievements. Russell Westbrook joined Oscar Robertson and Michael Jordan. It's the only three players to have, or the only players to have three or more 40-point triple doubles this season.
Crazy.
Andre Drummond joined Moses Malone as the only NBA players with 1,000 rebounds, 400 of them being offensive. In consecutive years.
Yowza.
So that is impressive.
So we're talking Nets.
Talking a lot of stats.
Yeah, I just throw some stats out.
Does that bring us into my favorite statistical segment?
This is actually going to bring you into your least favorite segment.
No!
Yeah,
Game of Thrones coming this week. Yeah. Anyway, this is our trivia contest.
completely surprising. I love it. I think this might be the week John does it. Inevitably, a broke clock is right.
So this is our trivia contest, the Game of Scones.
Put away your phones.
And
I'm here cracking my knuckles.
This week, we're going to have one that I think you guys might do really well at.
There you go.
Hopeful Keith, always disappointed.
Yeah, we have been terrible at all of these. We are not good at knowing basketball.
This week's Game of Scones trivia question. In the 2000s, this is the season, this is the 99-2000 season through the 09-2010 season. During these 10 years, which players made the All-Star game 5 times or more? Think about it. There are 16 players who made 5 or more All-Star games in the 2000s. Once you miss 3, you are done. One extra rule. If you mention one of the players who made it 4 times, it is not a strike and you may guess again.
What are the years again?
The 2000s. 99 to 2000 season through the 09.
The odds.
Ah, yes.
The
roaring odds.
The roaring odds, yeah.
4 of them made it every year.
Yes, I kind of know.
Okay, Chuck, you are the all-time defending champion. Would you like to go first or would you like to defer?
Would you like to defer?
I will go first.
Okay, I like it. That's strong.
Yes.
It's game theory.
Tim Duncan.
10 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Guess again.
Squeaked in at 5.
Woo!
That's correct.
Kobe Bryant.
10 for 10. Unless see Chuck's taking the big ones out. That's what you got to do.
I'm trying to decide if I want to take the... I guess I'll follow his lead.
Don't goop around, John.
Usually what I... Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk Nowitzki. 8 times.
Kevin Garnett.
10 for 10.
Wow.
Do I get extra points for this?
No.
Sick.
For getting the questions correct?
No, but like the best correct answers.
How is that the best correct answer?
Because
he's got it right on the nose.
I'm 3 10 for 10s. It's pretty dope. And
you can add these up in your head, Chuck, and pretend you have 30 points and John only has 13.
Okay, imaginary points.
Yes.
I like that.
It's like every sports talk show that has imaginary points.
Or every show, midnight.
5 points for
whose
you.
Whose line is it anyway?
Around the horn.
All right, John.
I really want to do something weird, but I don't think it's going to work out for me if I do it. Should I do something weird? Can I get a vote? Chuck, what do you think? Should I do something weird?
I think you're just stalling right now.
Well, that's also kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's kind of game theory-ish.
Kind of see-through.
Kind
of see-through.
Vince Carter.
Ooh.
Vince Carter. Absolutely.
Woo!
Yeah.
8 times. Downtown. 8 times.
From way downtown.
Ray Allen.
Ray Allen. 9 times.
Ah, so close. Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce. Yes, 7 times. You guys are doing great. I'm very proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't decide to do like from 1992 to from the years you were drunk.
Oh, no, I purposely
drugs.
Made it easier for you guys.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes, 9 times.
I'm just murdering this.
Yao Ming, 7 times.
Tracy McGrady,
7 times.
This is too easy.
It's starting to get hard.
Well, it's gonna tighten up.
It's starting to get hard for me, anyways. Not for Chuck. Chuck, I don't even see a drop of a bead of sweat.
No, I do this.
Just a glistening. Now you're freaking me out. This can I get like some sort of ruling on what he's doing right now for the listener? He is staring me down. He's in the lotus position.
I'm undressing you.
Now his toes are in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
This is unfair.
I own you,
Dwayne Wade.
Nope.
Dwayne Wade.
Nope.
Oh, this is a pregnant pause.
Nope. As if LeBron made it 5.
Dwayne Wade made 5.
Ah.
Woo!
Okay.
But you guys are doing great. There are only 4 left.
Oof.
All right, Chuck, back to you.
Allen Iverson.
Iverson is correct. 10 for 10.
10 for 10.
Okay. Next. My turn.
Yes.
Steve Nash.
Steve Nash is correct with 6 all-star appearances.
Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony, no. That is our first strike. He only made it 2 times. His career was just getting.
Pau Gasol.
No.
Damn.
Pau Gasol, only 2 times. One strike apiece.
No!
Mm-hmm.
I was ahead for one second.
And there's 3 left. Alonzo Mourning.
I think there are... No.
Mm. You're right. He was sick for like 3 years.
Them kidneys.
Mourning made three.
Not that far off. Could have made one and then passed.
There are...
There's an old guy there.
There are two...
There's an old guy, right? There's a guy that's like the end of the last generation.
Actually, there are only two left. There are two
mm-hmm.
left.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty tapped out.
Yeah. I got a couple go-tos.
Let's see here. Is it my turn or is it your turn?
It is my turn.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, because we're one run wrong. Reggie Miller.
No.
No.
Someone has two strikes. I know that.
I do.
Yeah. He does. Check us two.
One.
Yeah.
For me, I will go with legendary Jason Kidd.
That is correct.
Yes.
There is only one left, unless I've made a mistake. Mm. And I consider it to be kind of, here's a hint, slightly hard. Doesn't immediately jump into your brain.
I mean, my brain is bouncing off of the walls of my skull.
Tony Parker.
No.
No.
I lose.
That's three.
That's three. John, can John
you gotta get
one?
You got to get one.
But I only have one strike. The last one, I'm literally having to go through the teams.
Since I went first, he has to answer this. He has to get one of them in order to beat me.
Well, I technically have gotten two more than you. You have three strikes.
You're right. You have one. You're right.
I have answered one more correct. Come on.
So you got to get one more.
Stephon Marbury.
Stephon Marbury made several, but no.
Duh, dad nabbit.
Sean Marion.
Sean Marion made four, so that's not a negative hit.
Chuck's actually eliminated already.
Chuck is eliminated.
I just want to get to the bottom of this. Well, John finally won.
I think John almost won, but not really.
My one win has an asterisk.
Yeah, you have 4-0-1.
So the remaining guy, he played for the Indiana Pacers.
Oh!
Six-time All-Star.
Not Reggie Miller.
No.
Jalen Rose?
No.
Rick Smits?
Goodness, no. This guy played in the NBA for a long time. He might have retired 4 days ago. I don't know. I'm telling you, this guy is hard to remember.
I don't know. Antonio Davis.
No.
Drafted by the Trailblazers. Jermaine O'Neal.
Oh.
Oh, gosh. I forget that he exists.
He scored a lot of points for five or eight years.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was good until the Malice at the Palace.
When there were no centers in the NBA. He was
really quick.
Wow.
Let's move to our awards segment, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which goes to the worst performance in a box score. Got a handful of nominees this week. One, Victor Oladipo in a victory against the Timberwolves. 4-for-19, 8 points, 7 assists, 2 turnovers. 4-for-19, a lot of shots.
Magic been balling, though.
Joe Johnson, ISO Joe. 1-for-10, but picked up the accursed 666 line. 6 points, 6 assists, 6 boards. And then Ryan Kelly of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Knew this was coming.
You just go and have a night on your town, Mr. Kelly. Shoot all you want. 3-for-17, 8 points and a foul out. And also what I assume is a career high, 5 assists. So we have Victor Oladipo, 4-for-19, 8 points. Joe Johnson, 1-for-10. And then Ryan Kelly, 3-for-17, 8 points and a foul out.
As much as I want to give it to the fella who got the number of the beast in there.
He did get a 666.
I got to go Ryan Kelly. I think foul out is the piece de resistance.
I think there's no reason to overthink these things. Mm-hmm. I think Ryan Kelly.
I'm going to go with the 666 because I believe in seeing patterns, and that's an ugly pattern, and I don't like it. So.
Right. All right, so Ryan Kelly with 2 votes
is
our International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner.
And you are the Yellow King.
Congratulations. And we will only have, well, I guess we'll probably do it through the playoffs, but our regular season Stackhouse Awards will wrap up
next
week.
Who knows? I don't even know how long this
very exciting.
Is.
All right.
Our cutting onions.
Our par fadeaway. What are the things we're looking forward to this week? It's been the same for many weeks now. It's just the playoff races, the seeding, everything is falling into place. We don't know what's going to happen.
I'm looking forward to the Heat clinching that eighth spot and facing the Cavs.
Let's hope.
Okay, that can't happen.
Can't. We'd have to go to seven, and that's not going to happen. So that dream has been killed.
So we're I'm hoping... looking forward to the Heat missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, the Heat, yeah. I mean, the Heat can still make the seven. It's not a problem.
Lottery pick. No, I'm hoping for a good pick.
The East is a delightful race. The West is like a race of sadness between the Thunder and the Pelicans.
Well, the West race is the 2-6. The Southwest Division title is up in the air. The Clippers are not going to lose again, more than likely.
Grizzlies going to be.
Well, there's a huge thing. The big game, Grizzlies, Clippers, which could decide, again, where all those teams end up. That's probably it.
It's pretty elementary.
The Pacers are undefeated in their FloJo jerseys.
We all want the same thing.
And they decided to, I think they're going to lose. They decided to bring him for an extra game. I think this weekend, I feel like that's bad karma.
Indeed.
It's bad karma to go.
They're going to the well once too many.
Exactly. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
The Freemasons are watching us.